This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, November 13th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, legal issues in the news looks at drivers and cell phones. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. Just 2 years after Illinois set a record for the most expensive Supreme Court race, a campaign for the appellate bench also set a spending mark. Sean Crawford has a review.
The Southern Illinois Appellate Contest is estimated to have topped $3 million. The winner, Democrat Bruce Stewart, got major backing from trial lawyers, while business interests lined up behind his Republican opponent, Steve McGlynn. The money went mostly for negative advertising. Cindy Canary is with the group Illinois Campaign for Political Reform.
The experience that we're seeing with these judicial contests should provoke us to look at how we run judicial elections in this state, what our judicial selection criteria is, and, you know, what kind of reforms we might put in place to restore a little bit of integrity to our judicial selection process.
Canary points to public financing of judicial campaigns, which she says would allow judges to remain more independent. But political leaders at the Illinois Capitol have resisted. Canary says in the wake of spiraling election costs, supporters will try again next year. I'm Sean Crawford.
In January, a new Congress will meet, this time with Democrats in charge. More than two dozen Republicans who lost their seat in last week's elections will not be around then, but today they're returning to Washington to conduct some unfinished business. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois says very little will likely get accomplished in this post-election lame duck session, but he says Congress should deal with some priorities. That includes passing a spending bill and extending a tax deduction for college expenses.
We also want to approve the nuclear pact with India, which they are anxious to see happen. I'd like to see happen as well. We have a bill on bioterrorism, which will make America safer if we have to face an avian flu epidemic, for example. I think that's timely, and we should work on that. And finally, there is one provision related to energy about drilling for oil in the Gulf of Mexico, which passed the Senate, needs to pass the House, and we're hoping to get enacted before we adjourn.
Durbin also says the Senate should proceed with confirmation hearings of Robert Gates, whom President Bush nominated to take over Donald Rumsfeld's post as Secretary of Defense. Durbin says while he has some concerns about the former head of the CIA, he's impressed with Gates' long record of public service and his understanding of national security issues. The largest newspaper publisher in the country has emerged as a possible buyer of the Chicago Tribune. Gannett Company executives visited Chicago last week and listened to presentations on Tribune Company's financial situation. The Chicago Tribune reported about the meetings over the weekend. Gannett publishes 90 U.S. newspapers, including USA Today. Tribune signaled its willingness to sell all or part of the company back in September in response to unhappiness with its lagging stock price. Tribune's holdings also include the Los Angeles Times, the Chicago Cubs, and WGN-TV. Other possible buyers include a pair of billionaires who made a joint offer Wednesday for the entire company. Gannett and Tribune spokespeople have declined to comment. Danville's largest elementary school is in the midst of a three-year program to reduce the size of its kindergarten and first-grade classrooms. The State Board of Education gives grants to schools that have had trouble meeting state guidelines under the No Child Left Behind Act. Assistant Superintendent Mark Denman says East Park Elementary is now making those guidelines, but the addition of new teachers this year has helped give students more one-on-one attention, a key factor in early childhood education.
Your kindergarten teacher needs to see where they are, so there's a great deal of one-on-one assessment. And most of that is the teacher actually sitting down with the child and ask them to count a certain number, to point out certain colors, though we do group work too. I think by having the class size smaller at the entry levels, it makes a great deal of difference and makes a closer bond between the teacher and the student as well.
Denman says previous class sizes have hovered in the 20 to 25 student range. The grant keeps each classroom under 15 students. Terre Haute, Indiana has stopped picking up stray animals because of budget concerns and is now only taking vicious, neglected, or abused animals to the local shelter. The city is nearly out of money for animal control. The Board of Public Works and Safety says the city has had only $300 left for the year after paying September's bill to the Terre Haute Humane Society. Terre Haute's mayor, Kevin Burke, says the city could pay up to $100,000 this year to take stray animals to the shelter. He says he wants to look at alternatives for next year, so the city will be requesting proposals from private entities that may be able to take in strays. Shelter manager Patricia Farnsworth says the most effective way to limit the number of stray animals is to spay or neuter more dogs and cats. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Just a few days ago, the village board in Winnetka, Illinois, voted to outlaw drivers' use of cell phones as of January, and there's a statewide movement afoot led by a couple who lost a son back in September to a driver who was distracted by a cell phone in Urbana. Commentator Amy Guida explains that even when the laws don't directly address the matter, courts have found criminal and civil liability, but that's not been enough to prevent the accidents from happening. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
I was about to walk out of an elevator a few days ago when a guy nearly barreled straight into me on his way inside. He excused himself sheepishly, interrupting his cell phone conversation to do so. I know that such an encounter isn't among the tragic and terrifying stories out there of accidents between pedestrians or bicyclists or fellow drivers and cell phone users, but it helps prove that it's easy to get distracted when you're talking on a cell phone and life, in a literal sense, is happening about you. In one shocking case from Texas, a teen driver answered a ringing cell phone and slammed into a family of four, killing a 3-year-old boy and leaving his father with permanent brain damage, his 2-year-old sister with a broken neck, and his mother with serious injuries. The verdict in that case was $8.5 million. Some states and municipalities have acted in a legislative sense. In New York, the law reads that no person shall operate a motor vehicle upon a public highway while using a mobile phone to engage in a call while such vehicle is in motion. And the Chicago suburb of Winnetka just passed an ordinance last week banning cell phone use while driving. Those are just a few examples out there, both on the state and local levels. But not everyone agrees that cell phones should be banned. Compare those sorts of laws with one in Massachusetts, where language expressly allows cell phones while driving. A person may operate a motor vehicle while using a mobile phone, as long as one hand remains on the steering wheel at all times. As disagreement swirls about the appropriateness of cell phone restrictions, the judiciary has taken its own action in both criminal and civil cases. As early as 1993, a driver argued that he wasn't guilty of failure to give proper attention to driving just because he drove erratically while using his cell phone. But the court found that the ordinance language was clear and the evidence was sufficient to prove criminal liability. Since then, juries and judges have found cell phone users who caused accidents guilty of crimes, including involuntary manslaughter and vehicular homicide, and liable in tort for negligence. One court overturned a jury verdict and found that the woman who died in a train car accident was 100% responsible because she'd been talking on a cell phone. And an Illinois appellate court found that a jury should hear information about possible cell phone use by a driver, even though the trial court judge had decided that the evidence should be excluded as too circumstantial. Still, other courts have refused to let employers off the hook automatically when their employees are the ones on the cell phone. But as aware of the problem as the nation's judges may be, a law that expressly bans cell phone use by drivers would have considerably greater positive effect by serving to prevent the accidents in the first place. I'll be the first to admit that I'm self-interested here. I don't use a cell phone while driving, and I've nearly been hit by those who do on a number of occasions. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was crossing a street with my son after our walk sign came on. A man driving a truck and chatting on his cell phone turned straight into our path. I grabbed my son's shoulder and pulled him back onto the curb just in time. The man continued on, and I suspect that he never saw us, even though we were absolutely right in front of him. I'm sure you have your story, too. Now might be a good time to share it with lawmakers. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. See cloudy skies and seasonable temperatures for much of the week this week. Our forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. In Illinois today, cloudy with scattered showers this morning. In Indiana, cloudy with scattered showers arriving in western sections in mid to late morning and elsewhere in the afternoon. Highs today ranging from 44 in northwest Illinois to 54 in the far south. Tonight, it will be mostly cloudy with areas of fog forming. The lows from 32 in northwestern Illinois and northeastern Indiana to 39 in southwestern Illinois. And for tomorrow, patchy fog in the morning, otherwise mostly cloudy. The high is from 46 in northern Illinois to 58 in the far south. Clouds for Wednesday and Thursday with a good chance of rain both days, and it'll be windy as well. The high is Wednesday in the 40s north and central, 50 south. The high is on Thursday in the upper 30s in northern Illinois and only in the 40s elsewhere. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, November 13th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.